This series is a series on stewardship and generosity, and it's week one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you, over the next 5 weeks, I'm about to take you on a journey. This series is going to be all in your business. This series is going to seem like I had surveillance on some of the thoughts that you had, because this series is going to confront your heart issues through your wallet. See, most people don't understand that your finances, your generosity, your giving, even if you don't have a lot, or even if you balling, everything that you are doing right now, your money and your heart are attached to each other. And what God wants you to do in this life is not be attached to a tool. He wants you to manage that tool, but not love it. And in this series, I am the best person to talk to you about this because I was completely blinded when it came to money, cash, guap, give me some more term, cheese, dinero, loot, what is it? Cheddar, pesos, come on, give me a couple, type it in the chat. What did you say? The fetty, what? Bread, the tortilla. I don't know, I ain't never heard of it, but I, you know what I'm saying? The vegetables, the lettuce, the chips. Why have these food analogies? This is the coins, the bag, the Benjamins. Give me two more. What we got? The moolah. The paper. There it is. The bacon? Never heard of the bacon before. Oh, bring it home, the bacon. Okay, all right, all right, all right. Okay, all right. So, whatever you call it, I'm going to start with confession. Money used to control me. It used to dictate my thoughts, my actions, my associations, as well as my self-worth. Not going to talk about you today, but I'm going to talk about me. Money used to make me feel better about living. And it used to make me feel worse if I didn't have it. Most of us get a small dopamine hit on this every day that it's payday. Now, don't act fake with me today. You know the 1st and the 15th, or whenever you get paid, you just... breath still stinking, eyes still crusty. This day you don't check Instagram first. Today gonna be a good day. Why do we feel like that when we get a tax return? Why does it feel like life got better when we found an extra $20? It was your 20 to begin with. You just lost it. But when you found it, it's like, oh, shoot. God is blessing. Rain on me. Like, the truth is, many of us are attached to this thing that God called us to manage, steward over, and watch this, give away abundantly. It's very hard to give away what you're attached to. It's hard to let go of what's holding you. And through this series, I want to walk us in a very cautious manner through a subject that many churches fumble. The reason the church don't like to talk about this, and I'm just putting all the disclaimers out here first to let you know that I've thought through everything that we're about to do, and the end of this is you living a blessed life. Somebody say blessed life. Not a blessed wallet, but a blessed life. He wants every area of your life to be blessed. But there's a connection between your resources and your relationship with God. And so as we walk through this, I'm going to do it delicately, but I want to give you a few disclaimers. Everybody, first off, take a deep breath in, let it out, and everybody say relax. There will be no second offerings. We're not in a building campaign. You don't have to look for the bait and switch. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? There's no $100 lines. There's no prophetic prophecies that you need to pay for. There's no oil from Israel that you just paid $333 for. And Jesus' spit is in that. Let's not talk about spit. All I'm saying is there's no gimmick with this. My heart's passion is that God's people would form a right relationship with resources. And there are too many people in God's house that have a wrong relationship with resources. And if you have a wrong relationship with resources, you can never be able to be a conduit to give those resources away. And all of the things that God wants us to do as the kingdom of God takes us having resources to be able to be a resource. You cannot be a resource without a source. And you cannot be a resource if you do not give resources to other people. And so we have to get a biblical, principled idea and thought process around generosity and stewardship, or we're stuck. And most of the church is stuck when it comes to finances, generosity, and stewardship. So I'm going to be so real with you through this whole series that it's going to make you confront you. And when you confront you with God's help, I'm praying that it will bring, everybody say, transformation. So let me just tell you my goal up front. I, through this series, along with God's help, want to break generational cycles of poverty. And through this series, we want to break generational cycles of selfishness. Uh-oh. Both of them are evil. Poverty is evil. Selfishness is evil. And most of us do not want either one of them, but live at one of those poles. And so I need us to be able to get principles that help us live a, everybody say it with me one more time, blessed life. So let me tell you where this came from. I was a broke 25-year-old, and I went to a conference in Dallas, Texas, with Pastor Robert Morris and Tim Ross, our now oversight pastor. He took me to this bookstore and he bought me $300 worth of books, CDs, DVDs. And he basically told me, don't call him until after I read and listen to all of this stuff. And I felt like it was kind of rude at the moment because I wanted to be mentored and helped. But he wanted me to make an investment. And he said, I've spent time with you. I've made an initial investment, but don't talk to me again till you read these things. A month went by. 2 months went by. He was serious. He ain't hit me up. And I said, well, maybe I need to read these books. In the middle of those books was a book called The Blessed Life. As a 25-year-old with debt, credit card problems, been around church and God all my life, seen money manipulated for, as well as seen people have millions of dollars and seen people unhappy in both scenarios. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to figure my way out through this, and I began to read this book called The Blessed Life. And these principles jumped off at me in such a way I started telling everybody about it. I even came back to Transformation Church, and at the time, I was the executive pastor here at Transformation Church, and I told Bishop, we got to do this series called The Blessed Life. He read the book. He was like, this is good. I said, let's do it. 2014, this week as I was going through the archives, I found the DVD box set of The Blessed Life that we did here, Bishop, at Transformation Church. These DVDs contain some of the raggediest footage in history. But as I was going through week number 5, for some reason, Bishop let me preach. And the title of the message, it says, Transformation Church, Sunday morning, Michael Todd, Seed, Need, and Greed. And I looked at this and I said, God, what were you saying? I went and bought a DVD player this week. Let's just say they're not easy to find. Went and bought a DVD player, and I put on this message that I begin to preach. And to listen to myself when I was broke, in credit card debt, trying to tell a group of people who was looking at me cross-eyed, like, what this little boy got to say? And the faith that I stood with to begin to declare that I would be somebody that would live a blessed life, it inspired me and gave me a passion to come to you today and give you a word that will have the potential to change the trajectory of your life. As I watched myself, knowing my situation and seeing what God was saying to me, 8 years ago to the month, it was March 2014, I stood on this same platform and I preached the blessed life for the first time, a year before I became the pastor. And to look at my life 8 years later and to know that everything I'm going to say to you in this series is not from an idea, is not from a theory, is not from something we're experimenting with. The person that you're standing, that is standing before you, have lived out these principles, and I have watched God turn my life from something that was broken, dejected, and really, really ugly to something that is, somebody shout at me, bless. I live a blessed life. Does that mean I don't have problems? No. Does it mean there's not suffering and situations I wish would change? No. But because I've honored God in the area of finances, stewardship, and generosity, he has, everybody say, transformed. And what my prayer is for you, I'm just saying it up front, is by the end of this series, if you would not be distracted by things that feel better, but you would dial into this series, I promise you, the principles that we're about to talk about will transform your life. Are you ready to receive right now? I said, are you ready to receive right now? All right, so let's go. Why do we talk about this? Why do we do this? And for all the people, again, who are like, oh God, here we go, we're about to talk about money. During this series, we're not asking for any offerings additional to what people already do in this church. As a matter of fact, because of the generosity and the people who have already bought into this message, during this series, we're giving away $1 million. Okay, y'all not shouting, but I am, because I know what God has done. This is Million Dollar March. Y'all missed it. We're giving away with no strings attached. $1 million in 1 month. Why are you saying that, Pastor Mike? Because I want you to know we're doing the opposite of what people would think we would do in this season. Why? Because we're called to represent God. I don't want you to have no distractions to receiving this message. But the reason we do this is because Proverbs 11:24 tells us, listen, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. How big is your world? I want you to look around and evaluate how much has God allowed you to be a manager over. The key to expanding that is be more generous. The key to that shrinking is be more selfish and stingy. And many people, because the paper is priority, or they've made a mountain of money, or they think cash is king, or they're committed to the coin, they do not follow God's principles. And that's why in this thing, we have to make the kingdom of God priority. Everybody say priority. That's why Matthew 6:33, I'm just giving you a couple scriptures, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to. Everything that we need resource-wise will be added if we seek first the kingdom of God. And God doesn't have a problem with paper. He just wants priority. And my question to you today is, what priority is God in your life? Can I say it to you in a point? Money should never be the focus. It should always be the fruit. If money is your focus, on social media, every day I get up and I see all these entrepreneurs and hustlers and grinders, and most of us follow them. They have made money the focus and not money the fruit. If you make money the focus, you will start to make it your idol. And you will worship that thing. But for us as a church, we said, we're not focusing on money. We're focusing on what God has called us to focus on. And what is that? Transformation in Christ. Can I say it simpler? We focus on people. And when you focus on people, God always provides for people who are focused on other people. It is literally his MO. If you would give to somebody else, if you would help when they're in the hospital, if you would meet their needs when they have a baby, if you put yourself in the position of an extension of God's hands and feet on this earth, he will always supply your hands. But most people are trying to hoard or be a reservoir when God wants you to be a river. Somebody say flow. God wants you to have a flow from him to others. But if money is the focus, it can never be the fruit. So today I'm challenging everybody. I feel this thing. There is an authority coming over me. I'm fighting principalities right now. I'm fighting things that have been generational. I can feel it up here, Charles. Like I can feel people's mindsets. Like that don't apply to me. He don't know my situation. God does. And I'm telling you, I'm standing flat foot. I ain't never scared. I promise you, I've dealt with this in my own life and I've broke this back of poverty over this church and I'm coming for you because you have to live a blessed life. For you to help your family, for you to be able to get them out of drug addiction, for you to be able to help that community, for you to be able to reach back and get people that were just like you, you gotta get these principles. I'm not going to let no intimidation spirit come upon me. I promise I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight for your family. I'm ready to fight for your freedom. I'm ready to fight for your financial mindset. I'm ready to fight. Because you deserve to live a blessed life. But it comes from having the right principles. And that's why in an age and in a culture where most people have at least $7,000 of credit card debt, $196,000 of mortgage, $27,000 of auto loan, $56,000 of student loan debt. Somebody was like, I wish I had that little. Don't have $1,000 in saving and are one check away from being broke. That's the society we live in. But Deuteronomy 28:12 says, you will lend to many nations. You will never need to borrow from them. Culture, kingdom. Culture finances, kingdom finances. Culture generosity, kingdom generosity. What I'm saying to you right now is there is always going to be two kingdoms wrestling for your allegiance. And many people, when it comes to finances, we would rather listen to a guru who has no spiritual backing. But because they pull up in a Lamborghini, you think somehow they have the knowledge to help you do what God's called you to do. And I'm saying just for this series, can we go back to the principles of God and make them the priority in our life as we look at our finances, generosity, and stewardship? Can I get one big yes? Okay, so these are two words that you got to understand. They're not sexy, but they're going to provide some clarity for us as we move forward. Preparation. Okay, write that word down. Preparation. That's the first word I want you to talk to yourself about. Because the blessed life is not going to come instantly. This is not a get rich quick scheme. Or get me out of debt so I can do something crazy scheme. Preparation. It took me 8 years to get here. And we are such in an instant gratification moment that we would not invest now to see freedom later. But Bishop told me, he said, a moment right here of discipline can produce a life of freedom. So I'm asking people to get in your mind that this is time for preparation. The other word? Stewardship. That's managing something that's not yours. Now we're gonna have to deal with that because a lot of y'all think it's your money and your house and your breath. Give somebody else one. You can't give somebody else a breath because God gave it to you. And when you understand that everything that you have, all good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. When you understand that, you realize that you're never an owner. You're just a manager. Everything I have, it ain't mine. It is under my management or under my stewardship. He is the owner. I am the manager. Say it with me. He is the owner. I am the manager. So why, when he asks you for something, are you acting like he's doing something to you instead of for you? Give to who? With mama? You know I work every day for the man. And God said, hold on. I asked you just to manage this life. You know you got another life, right? And it's what you do in this life that will prepare you and see what you get in the next life because of how you stewarded right here. What is the phrase of this year? Here is. So maybe here and how you handle finances and generosity and money here is more important to your purpose and your destiny than anything you're thinking about in the future. God's saying here is holy. Your debt here needs to be dealt with. Your mindset here needs to be eradicated. Your ability to give here needs to go up because you'll never do it there if you don't commit to it here. Oh my God, okay. Write this in a point. Preparation releases provision. The only way God releases provision is if he sees preparation. That's good. But then watch the last part of this. Procrastination releases poverty. Oh, I'm about to get in your business. Some of y'all have been waiting to do what God already told you to do, and you're so arrogant to think that you have another week to do it. He told you to make the budget last year. And you literally are so arrogant that you are telling God, I got time. I got time to make the business plan. I got time to go to the bank and open up the account. God said, you don't know. Who said you got time? You don't know what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to do it. And procrastination has led to so much poverty that the church is now needing organizations that don't even believe what they believe to give them a handout because they will not obey in the seasons that God gives them wisdom of what to do in a word of knowledge. And now you've been put in a compromising position. Do you keep a standard? Or take the money. And I know of so many people, and I'm not just talking about churches, I'm talking about you. You are the church. Some of y'all have taken money that was dirty money. You knew that it was, I don't know if I can say it like this. You knew that the means that those resources came were not in a way that honored God. But because you looked at your bank account, and you looked at what you needed and you didn't trust in what God was doing in your life. You trusted in a system that God uses to give us tools. You compromised your integrity for a little bit of cash. I'm praying for a church that raises up. That money can be thrown at your feet and you still choose faith in God. For some of y'all, y'all are gone at $1,000. You'll slide down a pole. You'll give up your own kid. And I'm just telling the truth. And this is the truth. Everybody got a number. Charles, I don't know if I can be this real in this series. But some of y'all, for $15,000, would give up your Christianity. $100,000 would literally turn you out. You give up your family by making a wrong decision in a bedroom with somebody who offered you money for a cool $250. There is no amount of money in this world that is worth me losing my relationship with God. And this is where I'm submitting to you that even as we're starting this series today, I want you to confront you. Ask yourself how much money has become your God. Oh, I know it's strong. It's strong because at the end of the day, this is the stuff nobody talks to you about. Do you know how private we are about our money? Some husbands and wives don't eat. Y'all got secret accounts. Y'all got money stashed away in purses and bras. Y'all don't even let each other. Y'all know it's the truth. They're like, Y'all literally have all of these things set up because if something goes wrong and God doesn't answer, money will. And today I came to confront that thing in you. Because what God wants us to do is prepare to get a fresh revelation or a new truth in everything that God has given us around money. Somebody say, more money, more problems. Somebody say it again, more money, more problems. Does anybody remember when that song came out? Diddy, Mace, Kelly Price. I was 11 years old when it came out. Faith Evans, was it Faith Evans or Kelly Price? Faith Evans, okay, all right. Faith, God bless you. 11 years old, 1997, I literally was changing to channel 39, that was MTV, when I was young, and channel 40 was BET, and I only watched four channels when I was a kid. Disney, 32, Nickelodeon, 33, and then I just jumped to the extreme. 39 was MTV, and 40 was BET, and late nights, oh God. I'm just telling on myself, somebody can maybe relate. Y'all don't need an after dark. Y'all nasty. That was my life. And I saw Mason Diddy in these like shiny suits and they kept saying, the more money we come, the more problems. And Diddy was just, Diddy don't dance, he just Diddy's. And I was watching this video and from that point on, that mantra, more money, more problems, became something that was stuck in my head. And it began to give me a theology that was not based in the Word of God. A lot of the things that we believe don't come from scriptures. They come from moments in our lives where something seemed right and repetitive. And it then becomes something that we adopt as a truth. So I'm literally growing up and I'm thinking, more money, more problems. Then I go to college and start seeing how much it costs to go to a community college. And I was like, this is a problem. Which reinforce more money, more problems. I got in the church and I saw people having to figure out how to teach people how to give and encourage them and they're not going to give and this is that. And I saw, dang, more money, more problems. And then I became a pastor and I had a decision to make. Was I going to take a concept that was given to me by culture and bring it into kingdom work? Or was I going to take it through the filter of the Word of God? And I searched the scriptures. Guess what I found out? More money, more problems is not biblical. That literally is nowhere in the Bible. It was something I believed because it was something I confessed and I said and I saw other people say and it became my gospel truth. Okay, write this down because this will apply to you in any area of life. What is repeated and regurgitated becomes gospel to you, even if it's not the truth. What is repeated and regurgitated? There's stuff your family has ideas about that is the most backwards, broke up ideas in history. but it's what you do and say now because it was repeated and regurgitated. Racism? This is how it happens. It's repeated and regurgitated, and it becomes your truth, even though it's not the truth. When it comes to this thing about stewardship and generosity, God's saying, stop believing that more money means more problems. Write it down like this. More money, more problems is the confession of, watch this, the poverty gospel. See, everybody always talks about the prosperity gospel and how it's bad and it's gotten a bad rap. And I'm going to talk about that because it is. But that's not the only wrong gospel we're suffering from. People are suffering not from the prosperity gospel. They're suffering, dying, and raising kids in the poverty gospel. And today I need you to identify where you are. Everybody say here. God only can bless you from where you're at. So today I'm going to present a few options to you, and I need you to identify, am I here, am I here, or am I here? Because wherever you are, that's where we're praying God's going to transform you from. Transform you from. But if you do not identify, God will not take you or heal what you do not reveal. And there are tons of people under my voice right now that are suffering from the poverty gospel. You think more money, more problems. More money, more responsibility. More money, more taxes I gotta pay. I want a tax return. No, you don't. Do you see how many people didn't even know that's right? A tax return means that you gave the government in the year more money than you were supposed to, and they giving you your money back. You loaned it to them for free. But if you need $1,000, they're going to charge you interest. We're so poverty minded though. We want $4,000 that tax return so we can turn up and get a TV. Put some more rims on the truck. Take a vacation. More money, more problems. That poverty gospel is fueled by dysfunction, and let me help you. It is motivated and fueled by, watch this word, fear. When you live in the poverty gospel, it is motivated and fueled by, everybody say fear. What you mean? I can't get no more government assistance? If I actually get a job, then I have to report my income? And that means I'm not going to get this house for $300. You would rather, I'm in somebody's business. Y'all see how quiet it is right now? You would rather not have the freedom to live wherever you want. Put your kids in whatever school district you want. Be able to do and bless other people. You would rather have a $300 payment and brag about it. You know, I only paid $300. And water and cable included. You know what that is? It's you've sold your life out to the poverty gospel. You on seven people's Netflix account? But when you start a business, you want somebody to support your business. But you reap what you sow. Uh-oh. And so you've been stealing because they a big company. Well, what happens when you become a big company? Do you want you? Do you want one of you as a customer? That is, somebody is convicted right now. Somebody's signing out right now. Like, oh my God, my great Uncle Bill. You know what that is? It's the poverty gospel. And that poverty gospel, put it on the screen, poverty gospel. It's got you so messed up. It's got you not believing God. It's got you looking at situations, really thinking that more money means more problems. And it's rooted in the opposite of what God wants us to have. It's rooted in fear. I need a hookup on everything. I need a discount on everything. That's a poverty. I don't care what gas prices go to. God is the supplier of, I know everybody is tripping out right now. Gas prices is $5. I'll always have enough money to be able to pay for gas because I am not rooted in a fear-based poverty mentality. Will you come into church? I can't come to church, girl. You know that mug across town. I ain't got gas for all that. Yet you'll drive out of town for a concert that's going to lay you on your back with somebody. Uh-oh. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The poverty gospel. Charles, come here. Stand right here. I want everybody to see this. Because what ends up happening with the poverty gospel, it's passed to you by your family. And they tell you to hold it. And some of you is like, no, I don't want to live in that. And they'd be like, no, boy, this is our family. And you'd be like, but I can't apply for the school even though we don't have the money. Who gonna pay for it? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, Dad, I think I can get a scholarship. Well, you better get a scholarship, a job. You better take care of everything else. And you better know. And you start holding these ideas and mindsets. And then because your earthly father told it to you, you think now your heavenly father is saying, struggle. You gonna start that ministry? Well, God, I felt like you told me to start it. Yeah. So you gotta earn your dues. Go through what I went through. Like, hold on. If your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does your father in heaven? But when we have built up the poverty gospel so much in our head, we willingly receive the struggle. Because we believe, watch this, it's what we deserve. So now, oh, but you know, because some people are sitting here all bougie and high sedity. I've never been on welfare. Nothing's ever been cut off. God is good to me. But the truth of the matter is, let me tell you what poverty gospel is. Not spending money on the counseling you need and buying a new Louis bag. That's poverty. That's poverty mentality. Because you would care what somebody thinks about you than actually being whole. Let me tell you something else that's poverty mentality. Never ever being able to pay off your actual bills, but walking around stunning on people and judging them because they don't drive the car you drive. Poverty. And there's a bunch of people holding on to the poverty gospel. And it's fueled by fear. You bootlegging everything. Y'all remember Napster and LimeWire and come on, some of y'all too young for that. Y'all remember when literally the CD would come out? And you'd be like, I ain't paying for that. It took me 5 years to break poverty gospel off of my mind. And some of y'all are living better than you've ever lived. And you crawl up in the bed every night with a poverty mentality. So, you better shut that door. Letting my air out this house. Your kids are literally scared of you. You're damaging them forever. Based on $17 of air. But where'd you get it from? It was said to you. And you held on. I'm not talking about being frivolous. But I'm saying, like, is it really worth damaging the relationship with your legacy over a couple of dollars? Many of our actions have been fueled by the gospel of poverty. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But I need you to identify, are you here? Because here, the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear. See, fear is the motivator. It's fear of running out. It's fear that I won't have enough. This is very human. It's fear that I'll lose the job. It's fear. The only reason he's holding on to this mentality so long is because it's fear. Hold it up over your head, Charles. It's a 20-pound ball. This is what many of you feel like every day you go to work. It's really work because you're holding a poverty mentality over you everywhere you go. You literally can't talk without it. You can't love without it. You don't meet nobody. You won't even order the amount that you need to actually have your business flourish. You always got to do just a little less just in case God don't come through. He gave you the plan and showed you the vision. But you still are overlaying your poverty gospel over the plan of God. No, no, no. Keep your hands up, baby. No, 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 no. You're worshiping with the poverty gospel. You're serving with the poverty gospel. You'll walk 9 miles in the snow instead of get valet because it doesn't make sense to spend that money to keep your wife safe. She's pregnant. Why is your wife walking that far to save $10? But you'll still buy $120 pair of shoes? $300 on the resale market? Spot, no, baby, keep your hands up. Woo! The reason he's struggling, because he was never meant to carry this weight. The poverty gospel is too heavy for God's children. Yet many of us don't just hold it, we pass it to our family members. Let's stay right there. There's an example of this in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 4, you struggling? Oh, you just holding on to it now. So you went from holding it up to now just holding on. I'm trying to show you that the only thing that's keeping him up now is the ideas of poverty. He went from being able to handle it to now not even being able to stand up unless he's holding on to it. So when he hears the blessed life, he's like, I don't want to talk about none of that because I know what keeps me stable. I know what I can go through. You can talk about giving offering. You can talk about generosity. But I know what's made me survive the last 15 years. That's why I work and I grind and I hustle. And you still have nothing at the end of the month? And you still just barely getting by? Somewhere along the way, we have let the fear motivate us to the place where we believe in the gospel of poverty. And there's an example of this in Matthew chapter 25. Just hang out right there, Charles. Y'all laughing at him. This is how you've looked for 15 years. You got more clothes than you know what to do with, but more debt than you can handle, and still going to the mall this weekend. Why would you even put yourself in that position? People are offended. Matthew 25, verse 14. There was a man that God gave a talent to steward over. And he gave three men different things according to their ability to handle it. One, two, five. The one with two, he doubled it. You can read it in Matthew. The one with five, he doubled it. But the one that God gave one, all he wanted from that man was to double it. But look what this man said in Matthew chapter 25, verse, let's go 25. He said, I was afraid I would lose your money. I would fumble this opportunity. So I hid it in the earth. I dug a hole because of fear. I'm digging a hole because of fear. What did they call going into debt? I'm going into the hole because of fear. Whoever's been living in this idea of poverty and has been holding on to the gospel that is rooted in fear, today is your day to be transformed, because more money, more problems is an idea that God is not pleased with. And you've got to change your thinking. But, oh shoot, there's an extreme to this. Abby, come here. Because one day, Charles came in with the poverty mentality, but you go on over here. Because the extreme of the poverty mentality is the prosperity gospel. And this is where most people in church have gotten the wrong idea that it's give and you'll get. Give and you'll get. God is not a slot machine. This is not Las Vegas. He's trying to teach you principles, and there are results from giving, but it is not the motivation of my giving. And what ends up happening is the pendulum swings. And now Abby is holding on to the MMMP. Not more money, more problems. More money, more pleasure. This is how people think about the prosperity gospel. If I can create some more pleasure, put it on the screen right here. If I can create some more pleasure, if I can have more possessions, the more things I have, the more significance I have, the more square footage I have, the more designer I have, and people will manipulate to stay in this place so that they can live in the prosperity gospel. And the truth of the matter is, God is not pleased with that either. Take the middle one off the screen. I want them to see the dichotomy right here between the poverty and the prosperity. Both of them, God is done with. He's sick of them. He's sick of them dividing the kingdom because we're either on one of these ends of the spectrum. And some of y'all think your lake house is something to be enamored by. But you got a lake house and you escape your children who need you. And they're developing habits right now that you gave them. Oh, when you feel bad, go to the bar and drink as much as you want. When you feel bad, go buy designer clothes. When you feel bad, go buy a new car and hold it, Abby. Keep it over your head. And it doesn't matter who you are and where you are. If she has to hold that for any length of time, did you work out this week? You know I didn't work out. She said, you know I didn't work out this week. This is where people feel every day. And some of you are like, Pastor Mike, that is not me, but it's somebody. And there's ways that you can move from here to here and still be out of the will of God. Oh, God. Watch this. More money, more pleasure is the confession of the prosperity gospel. And let me tell you what the prosperity gospel is fueled by. See, the poverty gospel is fueled by fear, but the prosperity gospel is fueled by futility. Futility. Let me tell you what it means. Pointless or useless? All the stuff we're buying right now, pointless. All the places we're going, useless. It's not going to produce anything in the long run for you, and you're steady holding it up. Can I give you an example of somebody who bought in to the prosperity gospel real close to Jesus? Because this is where religious people live. Religious people judge other people and tell them what they should be doing with their money when they are actually the ones that have not found the heart of God around generosity and stewardship. Keep it up, Addie. Stay right there, baby. You've had three kids. You're strong. In John chapter 12, verse, all she's thinking about right now is how can I hold this up another day? The same way that there are many people watching that, how, if one more bill comes in, if that medical actually comes back and collects, if I lose my job, what are we going to do? And God said, I never meant for you to live in either one of these extremes of pressure. I want you to find the gospel that will transform your life and help you live a blessed life. I'm going to go there in a second, but I got to show people who are holding this up. Are you okay, Abby? She's not okay. I need to show people who are living in the process. Oh, y'all didn't know they're married. So now when they have children, these two are married. So now the conflicting views that they came from are what Arlo, Luna, and Jade have to wallow through. Because in conversations about the house, it's prosperity gospel. But when it comes to where the kids get educated, it's poverty gospel. And when it goes from us buying designer clothes, it goes to the prosperity gospel. But when it comes to us getting the counseling we need, because I was touched at a young age and nobody even talked about it, it costs too much for counseling. And we swing back. Wow. Here we are. Wow. And guess what happens? Throw it to me. I'm your kid. I'm getting hit. And then mom takes it back. And she talks about how I can't play on the basketball team because it costs too much money for uniforms. And then dad takes it back and say, we're going on vacation, but you can't go on an airplane. We got to drive. It's too many of y'all. You had all them kids. You can't believe God that he would give you the resources so you could spend more time at the place instead of driving 2 days to California. 28 years old, never been on a plane. Wow. Wow. Yet got every Jordan. Wow.
Come on, come on.
Can you see how confusing it would be?
Yeah, yeah.
And how many hits that we take? Wow. Because we're raised in two cultures that are not kingdom. And we believe in the poverty gospel or the prosperity gospel. Yes, sir. Just keep holding it right there. John chapter 12. Why wasn't the perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Pop quiz. Does anybody know who said that? Judas. One of Jesus's disciples had a prosperity gospel mentality. He was over the money. But when Mary came to pour oil on Jesus's feet as his only burial, Judas stands up religiously and says, we should have used that to help the poor. And the Bible literally says in John 12, verse 6, Judas did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to take from what was put into it. The poverty mentality and the poverty gospel will make you judge what other people do, knowing that you're a thief. They gave to what? They doing what? They don't even do nothing right with the money. It's a prosperity gospel. And this is the beautiful thing. Keep holding it up, Abby. I want you to keep holding it up.
Great.
Hold it up. The reason why this is a problem and the reason why we have to identify where we're at is because God continued to give Judas a chance to transform his heart. You don't think Jesus knew that he was a thief, but he let him steward over the money?
Oh, wow. My God.
Who's giving out the positions in Jesus's squad? Yeah. Jesus. He said, Judas, you take the money.
Wow.
And for 2 years, let him steward over what he knew he was stealing. Why? Because of his love for Judas. He said, I'm trying to give him an opportunity to change. And it was the very thing he sold Jesus out for. 30 pieces of silver. Because he had the prosperity gospel running through his veins. okay. So can I tell you why? Abby, you gonna be okay? She said no. Judas, along with many of us, I'm trying to be calm in this first one. I'm trying to just give you a little bit to just sit with. Judas, along with many of us, have the spirit of mammon. Y'all just stay up here. You're going to struggle. You just, I'm going to hold this for you for a second. No, I'm going to give it to your husband. And the reason I'm going to give it to him, because honestly, what ends up happening is we start picking up the characteristics of the people we're around. And there are people that God has brought into your life that you need to X out of your life because they have been giving you lessons from a gospel that is not rooted in the kingdom. Okay, I'm gonna just leave it right there. Most of us have the spirit of mammon. And now I know this is something that's big. You see how I'm teaching flat-footed? Because I just need you to learn today that there are things that are going on in you that you've never had language for, but today I want to give you language to figure out why you've been where you've been. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. This is stewardship. Verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, underline that, circle it. That's only used three times in the Bible, and two of them are in this verse. Who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, this is one of the only places in the Bible, now I need you to hear me, that God directly compares himself to something, because nothing else is even worth to be compared to him. But he says, "You, it's either me or mammon." And most people just translated money, but it's way deeper than that. So I'm going to take you on a journey to figure out what mammon actually is, if God's saying we should not serve that, okay? Mammon is an Aramaic word for riches. It was a Syrian god actually named Mammon, and it came from the people in Babylon. Babylon comes from the Tower of Babel. Y'all remember when the people were going to use their own strength to build a tower up to God? And if you need to remember Babylon, just think of Babel on. Have you ever met somebody who just babbles on and just talks a whole bunch? That's how we remember this, okay? Babel or Babylon means confusion. This word together means sown in confusion. Babylon is a group of people that felt like they did not need God. Let me tell you what the spirit of mammon is and write this down. The spirit of mammon is a belief that we don't need God if we have riches.
Come on, come on.
Most people feel if I got money, don't need God. I am God. I can pay for it. You have cancer? We'll get the best treatment.
Wow.
You left me? It's fine. I'll get somebody else. I'm flying to Miami tonight. It's if I have resources, I don't need God. It's an arrogant and prideful spirit that wants you to look to other things than God. And write this down. Mammon promises everything only God can deliver. Mammon promises you identity. It promises you security. And it promises you significance, and only God can give those things. It promises happiness, and only God can give those things. It is a lie when we believe in the spirit of mammon. If I have more money, then people would listen to me. That's a lie. If I have more money, I would be more loved. That's a lie. If I have more money, I would be accepted. If I had more money, they would approve me. And I'm about to prove to you, everybody has dealt with the spirit of mammon. Because all of us at some point have said, either I need God to come through or I need somebody to give me some money. And if you've ever said that, you have dealt with the spirit of mammon. But today, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is coming to break the back of that spirit that has been over your family, over your household, and over your life. God wants you to live a blessed life. God wants you to be able to be a resource and do things that nobody's ever done. But we got to identify where we are here. And the truth of the matter is, most of us are hanging out at more money, more problems, or we're hanging out at more money, more pleasure. But where does God want all of us to actually be? See, because just because you have experienced prosperity does not mean you're in purpose. People who have money, it don't mean they're fulfilling God's plan for their life. And in our culture, we have equated success with acceptance from God. Oh, you were built to do that. No, he wasn't. He was actually built to be a father. But now he's replaced finances for fathering. And I need everybody to know the number of zeros in your account has nothing to do with the purpose that God has placed on your life. And the reason that this is so hard for many of us to even accept is because we've attached our identity to money. And you don't see your value outside of your value. If I could tell you anything through this series, is you're worth more than anything you'll ever make. I know you don't believe it yet, because I didn't believe it. It took me years to know that that spirit of mammon that was all over my house, that poverty that was on me, oh, did you not know that you could be living in both of these worlds at the same time?
Yeah.
I lived in the prosperity gospel and the poverty gospel. I know when God saw me coming, all he saw was this. Woo! Why did he see that? It's because I would go from here in one instance, and then I would be over here in another instance, struggling, hurt. I think I just did something to my back. I came in like a wrecking ball. This is what you look like. What is God saying? I don't want you at either extreme. I don't want you to believe the prosperity gospel or the poverty gospel. I want you to believe in the purpose gospel. More money, more purpose. When I have more money, because my money is directed by God, more money means more what? Purpose. I can reach people. I can help people. I can rescue people. I can send family members into rehab. More money, more purpose. I can go buy somebody else some shoes that doesn't have them. I can be able to be one to go into North Tulsa and ask the educators, what do you need? Instead of asking for a government official to do what they'll never do because it doesn't make dollars and cents. The body of Christ is supposed to raise up and be the answer to the problem. More money, say more purpose.
More purpose.
Say it what you mean. More money.
More,
more money.
More purpose.
The sad truth is, most of us do not have purpose for our resources. Most of our money is used for selfish reasons. So that's why God stops flowing it to you. Why do you always just have enough? Because you haven't found the purpose yet. More money, more purpose. More money, more problems, poverty gospel. More money, more pleasure, prosperity gospel. More money, more purpose. This is purpose gospel. I spent my whole message trying to get y'all to see something real simple to identify where are you. Is this based in fear? Or is it based in futility? Or the purpose gospel? It's based in faith. I have faith that my God will supply all of my needs according to So it's not my pleasure. And it's not my poverty.
Yeah.
It's his plan. When he has a plan for my life, all of my resources have a purpose. Proverbs 19:21. You can make plans. I love this because God is so gangster in the scripture. He's like, go ahead.
Yeah.
You can make prosperity plans and you can make poverty plans. Because many are the plans of a man.
Yeah.
But it's God's purpose. That will prevail. And I'm asking everybody to never think again, more money, more problems. That's a poverty mentality based in fear.
Yeah.
And never again think more money, more pleasure, because that is a gospel based in futility. It doesn't mean nothing. When we think of more money, we think of more purpose. Okay? The purpose gospel is fueled by faith. And I'd say crazy faith. But this is the thing I need you to understand. If your paper doesn't have purpose, it's pointless anyway. The paper without purpose is pointless. Because the whole goal is God saying, this has to be held up. If it's in poverty, you hold it up. If it's in prosperity, you hold it up. But if it's in the middle, this is what it looks like to live a blessed life. None of this weight is on me. Because it's right in the middle of the will of God. The budget for this church is over $20 million. Guess how I sleep at night? Like a baby. Why? Because I'm not living in the prosperity gospel. And I'm not living in the poverty gospel. You can't get paid here. Do it for the Lord. Let him honor you. I got to feed my kids. I have decided that this church will live in the purpose gospel. That as long as we're doing the purpose that God called this church for, there will always be, watch this word, provision. This is where provision is. I'm not holding this up. I'm just touching it. I'm not trying to make sure this stays in place. God has this in place. I don't have to finagle and manipulate and make a way for myself and create a new plan and allow somebody to see the vision. As long as I stay in the place of purpose, God will be the God of, everybody say, provision. This is what I want you to get in this Blessed Life series. If you commit to the purpose of God for your resources, he will always give you provision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me say something that we started saying. Oh, you know, this is crazy. I'm not even touching it no more. And it's not damaging me. It's associated with me.
Yeah, yeah.
People look at me and be like, dang, he got the MMP. He got more money, more purpose. Like, how did he write a book and it went New York Times bestseller? Purpose.
Come on.
I wrote a book out of my pain and me and Natalie's problems and tried to encourage people so they wouldn't go through the same thing that we went through. I did something in purpose and God provided provision. Really? Well, Pastor Mike, how does that work? Well, the first thing that God blessed in this church, I'm just giving you real examples, was YouTube. And when you get a lot of views on YouTube, YouTube pays you money. And one of the things that happened, one of my offerings to God before anything happened, is God, we were trying to figure out how to, Tammy knows the whole story, we were trying to figure out, okay, how much money goes to the church, how much money goes to you because it's content that you made and all this other stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, Michael, give the first back to me. Huh? Don't take one penny from YouTube. Every message you preach, it goes back to the church. Now, Lord, I swung over to the.
Come on.
I swung over to the poverty mentality because I saw money in the moment. And I thought that's the only way God could provide for me. It's already working. We might as well get blessed from there. That's how I'm going to live the blessed life. And God said, no, get in my purpose. Okay, so give all of it, like not even a percentage. I can't get 10%. You get 10%. Did you think I don't? You know? I'm just being real, y'all. He said, give it all. So the first, not 1 year later, God tells me to put out relationship goals in purpose. Sells almost 1 million copies. Now, I don't know who's good at math, but I got paid more than $2 a book. Where I was going to be getting cents on the dollar in poverty. I got in purpose. And God sent provision. But I didn't go ball out and get to the prosperity gospel. I hired somebody to help me write my second book so I could stay in purpose. So I wrote my second book. And God said, all right, Michael, I want you to buy somebody a car. Now, Lord, you have been good. But I don't know if poverty. Michael, you could do it right now. Why are you fighting when I gave your money a purpose? I'm telling you what to do with it. And you're fighting me? Oh, it's fear. Because you can be a pastor with fear. And you could be a small group leader with fear. Because really, it's the fear of failure. And God said, trust me. Buy him the car. Bought him the car. You feel better, Michael? Honestly? No. But I don't have to feel better to be obedient. And every step of the way, God has continued to increase. This ball is huge over my head now. Huge. It still feels the same. Because I'm in purpose. I don't care how much paper you make. There are athletes and celebrities watching this. I love you. But who you are is not based on how much money you have. Because there's tons of people who have killed themselves with tens of millions of dollars in the bank. Obviously, something didn't fill them up. What I'm encouraging everybody to identify is where are you at today? Have you believed in the MMP, more money, more problems? Or the MMP, more money, more pleasure? Or what I'm believing for everybody by the end of this series is that you are dead set. More money, more purpose. Can I give you an example of this in the Bible and then we'll go home? Solomon. Y'all remember Solomon in the Bible, David's son? Okay, I got to show y'all real quick. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, and at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, now check this out. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. What if God came to you tonight, fell asleep, Netflix is on, and the Lord comes to you and says, Stephen, ask me for whatever you want. Solomon answered, look at what he answered. You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit at his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and don't know how to carry out my duties. I don't know how to fulfill purpose. Your servant is here. Your servant is here. Your servant is here. Among the people you have chosen, I'm just like all of them. And these are great people, too numerous to count or number. So this is what I'm asking. If I can have whatever I want, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, between poverty gospel and prosperity gospel and purpose. Give me the ability to discern what your purpose is, to administer justice and know what to do with my enemies. Verse 12, I will do, watch this, I will do what you ask. I will give, this is God's response to somebody who said, I just want to know my purpose. God, if I can have anything, help me do what you purposed me to do. No. Go back to verse 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10, I love it. The Lord was pleased with his cry to fulfill purpose. He was pleased in what Solomon had asked. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not a long life and not wealth for yourself, nor have asked for death for your enemies, but for discernment and administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. Because you chose purpose, because you were going to be one that bought into the gospel of doing the purpose that God has called you to do, I'm going to do everything you asked me to do. Plus, oh, I love this. I will give you wise and discerning heart so that there will never, oh my God, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Because you asked to do your purpose right, I'm going to give you the thing you didn't pray for. Oh my God, this blesses me. I'm going to give you both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk, watch this. So he already promised them all of that. But then he gives them, let me up it for you. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands and principles, as David your father did, I will give you long life. Ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. He said it again, both wealth and honor. Watch this. So that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. What he was trying to give him through obedience was a blessed life. But look what he asked for. Purpose. I don't need money. I need purpose. I don't need prosperity. I don't need poverty. I need purpose. More money, more purpose. Let me leave you with this. Obedience equals the blessed life. That's it. Next week, I'm going to get us all hype and excited, but I had to give you where you may be at. Because some people are driving really nice cars still in the poverty gospel. But like, it don't matter what you got. It matters what's in your heart. And that's what I got to talk about next week. Because our heart is the place where God makes and sees what's really in there. But if your money doesn't have a purpose, there will be a problem. If your money does not have a purpose, and the purpose can only come from God. You can't make a plan here and call it purpose. So many people on their Twitter are making plans that they made. Purpose, but you're in a degree that you'll never use when you get in purpose. That's why I tell young people, pray now what God is calling you to. Because you'll be more money, more poverty, or more money, more pleasure. But God said, more money, purpose. And this is what I'm praying for every person under the sound of my voice, that we would stop going back and forth between poverty and prosperity, that we would lean. This is easy for me. This is comfortable, Abby. Yeah. Leading how I'm leading now, from when I started preaching this 8 years ago, Charles, to right now, just being in purpose, it's more comfortable. It actually is something I can lean on. When I get more opportunity for resources and God doing something in my life and in your life, I now have a filter.
Yeah.
Is this a part of my purpose? Do you know how much money I've given up to stay in the middle of purpose?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm telling you is there's nothing that you will give up in purpose
yeah.
that God will not give back to you because you're doing it His way.
So good.
And for everybody who's tired of holding it up, Charles is the perfect picture of 90% of the people watching today. And Abby, throw it over there, is the perfect picture of everybody else. Until we submit to God and say, you know what? I'm gonna live in purpose. Today I wanna pray for you. And I pray that this picture never leaves you. I pray when you go to make decisions, when you go to buy things, when you go to decide if you're going to honor God with the tithe and offering, I pray that you see this picture and you literally filter, am I walking out the poverty gospel right now? The prosperity gospel? Or the purpose gospel? By the end of this series, I promise you, if you stay with us in this, you are going to be so clear about why God gives you resources and how He's going to use your resources. God has no problem with money as long as it has His purpose. And I'm talking to somebody who doesn't have much right now. God, because your heart is open to this message right now, is about to trust you with a whole bunch. Somebody needs to receive that right now. Where you're at right now and the enemy's trying to convince you that this doesn't have nothing to do with you. Oh no, remember preparation and stewardship. God's giving you this message for what He's about to do in your life in the next 6 months. He's saying, I need you to hold on to purpose right here. I need you to grab a hold of it right now. Because I'm about to teach you what MMMP really stands for. More money, more purpose. Hands lifted everywhere. God, I thank you that I've done my assignment for today. That God, I've shown people very clearly the difference between a poverty gospel, a prosperity gospel, and the gospel of the kingdom, which is a gospel of purpose. God, I thank you that you're going to align all of our resources around a purpose that is bigger than us. God, we ask you to break the cycles of poverty in our mind right now. And we ask you to break the cycles of selfishness in our mind right now. And God, I thank you that wherever we are, we can say, here I am. Come on, somebody say that, here I am. This is something you probably won't show everybody, but I need you to identify. Just say, here I am. God, the parts of us that have been living on the extremes that you are not pleased with, God, today we repent. And God, anytime we think of more money, we will think more money, more purpose. Give us a purpose that's bigger than anything we've ever seen before. Give us a purpose that eclipses our fear. Give us a purpose that is rooted in faith. And give us a purpose as a church, Father, that touches the world. I'm praying, I'm speaking prophetically over every person that is under the sound of my voice, Father, that you would give us purpose in a way that are generational purposes. Yep. God, give us purpose that outlasts us. Give us resources to pass down to another generation. Your word says that a good man and a good woman leaves an inheritance for their children's children. God, let us get the mindset, Father, to be able to be so trusted. And Father God, that you would give us the ability to actually live out more money, more purpose. Today, God, I'm asking you to change our hearts, change our minds, change our actions, and let us trust you. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. So today, we honor you and we decree money no longer for us is rooted in fear. And money no longer is rooted in futility. Every resource that you give us stewardship over is now rooted in faith. We will trust you, God, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I trust you, God. I want you to be very sensitive to what's happening right now. You've just become sensitive to something that you weren't aware of before. Remember what we did in the last series when we say, here is holy? You said, here I am. Somebody say, here I am. And then what did you have to do? Take off your shoes off. You had to take off your protection. Some of y'all have been guarded this whole message. You've been mad this whole message. But all God's saying is take it off. And all I want you to do now is have sensitivity. Feel. Feel what I'm trying to do in you right now. Ask this very common question that you can ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this message? Come on, just ask him right now. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this message? Over this next week, God's about to make you sensitive. Oh, shoot. That's a poverty mentality. Oh, shoot. That's a prosperity mentality. Oh, shoot. I've been doing that based out of fear. Oh, shoot. I've been doing that and it means nothing. It's futile. And God's going to help you recognize that I make plans in faith. I speak life in faith. I speak faith over my kids. They can go to whatever college God's called them to go to. It don't matter how much money it costs. If God gives a vision for that, he will send provision for that. We can live in whatever neighborhood we're supposed to, and we can have faith to downsize to obey the purpose of God. Uh-oh. Because some of y'all are living in more for 4th of July and Christmas. That's the only 2 days your house is utilized. And God said, would you go down in people's idea of you to fulfill purpose? I promise you, I'm not going to play with you in this series because I know the freedom it is to actually live a blessed life. And as your pastor, I want nothing more for you and your family than for finances to only be a tool. It no longer is the reason why I wake up. It no longer is the reason why I work. It is no longer the thing that dominates my mind during worship. It is only a tool. And the only way you get there is by committing. And when I see money, well, money has no control over me. I divorce the spirit of mammon. More money, more purpose. Say it with me. More money, more purpose. Say it with me. More money, more purpose. One more time strong. More money, more purpose. I can't wait to see the purpose that God starts to reveal to you just because you have this mindset now. I told Charles earlier, it's crazy to never need a hookup again. That now God would take you from being a person to need a hookup to being. Master P has been coming up in my spirit several times. But there was a song that Prophet P said, I got the hookup. Holla if you hear. Oh, okay. Some of y'all, I'm not all the way saved, okay? This church is going to live a blessed life. I feel very strong right now. The reason I'm standing here, because I'm just telling the devils that are clouding your mind that I'm not backing up. No. I need y'all to hear me say this. Sometimes, you know when you can tell somebody's scared? Like they're like timid. All you got to do is get here every week. I'm going to fight for you. I can see poverty and prosperity fight. He's beating the crap out of some of y'all right now. But as your pastor, I'm about to get in the ring with you. And I'm going to challenge you because the decisions you make here can change the rest of your life. How do you know? Because I had to 8 years ago make a decision God, I want to see your purpose. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. I see some people right now. There's a cloud over you of debt, devastation, disappointment of decisions you made, and the enemy's trying to wear you out. Ooh, this, that compassion that's coming, I feel you. And you're saying, God, is there something you can do? And God said, today, I did the greatest thing I could do for you. I changed your mind. How are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Some of y'all need to play this message every day this week. Not because there's some crazy revelation. It's because it's got to go deep in you. Here is holy. Thank you, Lord. If you're in this moment or under the sound of my voice, somebody needs to start praying, because there's real healing that's happening right now. There's real deliverance that's happening right now. I'm not doing it. I'm not laying hands on you, but I'm telling you, God's changing people from the inside. You're seeing yourself differently than you saw yourself. You're divorcing some of the ideas that you said, I would always do this. And God's saying, no, 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 no. You can have something better than that. Or it's God's telling you right now, I'm softening your heart to know you can live without that. And you could thought you could never live without that. And God's doing a work on people right now. I'm telling you, mindsets are changing. I see it right now. I see kingdom and culture worrying in so many people's minds and hearts. But today we serve the God who gives you victory. And if you're in this moment and you need Jesus to come and help you in every area of your life, ooh, I feel the presence of God. If you're watching right now at home, if you're in this room, and you know that there has been another God other than the true and living God that has been controlling your life, today I want to get you from under the pressure of holding that up. And I want to give you the opportunity to rest in purpose. It was God's purpose that every person born would have a loving, intimate relationship with Him. And today is your day of salvation. I want you to know that God loves you so much that He gave His only Son before He asked you for anything, so that you could have an opportunity to be in relationship with Him. And all you have to do is receive. In this moment, I want you to receive Jesus. I don't care how broken you think you are. I don't care what you did last night or what you're planning to do tomorrow. Church, I need y'all to pray. There is lives in the balance right now. Father, I'm asking you that right now that you would soften people's heart and allow your word to go in, because today you are rescuing people, not for a moment, but for eternity. If you are under the sound of my voice and you want to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, if you want to enjoy the actual step of walking in purpose, today is your day of salvation. And on the count of three, I'm going to ask you, if you want to be included in that prayer, I just want you to raise your hand. It doesn't matter who's around you. It don't matter who you came with. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you don't have. Right now is a moment of purpose. And God's saying, I need you to make a decision to walk in purpose. Here is holy. I want you to believe in the true gospel, the gospel of purpose. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. And He had a plan and a purpose for you. And today is the next step of walking in that. One, if you ask God to come into your heart, you're making the greatest decision of your entire life. Two, I'm proud of you, but forget all of that. Your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand right now. Three. There's people in the room. I see you. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, that are online watching right now and on rebroadcast. Come on. Your church family is excited. Why? Because now you've embraced purpose. And today I want to pray for you. I want to pray that now, as you invite God in according to Romans 10:9, that everything in your life starts to align. Now, Transformation Church, we're a family. You know, nobody prays alone. So I want everybody to say this prayer of purpose out loud, strong, for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. Let's pray. Everybody say, God, thank you for making me a part of your plan and purpose. Today, I give you my life. I surrender to whatever you want to do. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. So I'm asking you, take my life and use me for your purpose. Change me, transform me, renew me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Transformation Church, can we give God? Oh, y'all better help me. Can we give God a shout of praise for everybody all around the world who's stepping into purpose? Hallelujah. I want to let everybody know something. Everybody standing, we're about to go. The reason why we celebrate is, as a church, this is our purpose: to represent God to the lost and found for one reason. What is it? Transformation in Christ. They told me before I came out here that 7,996 people have given their life to Christ. I think we just went over the 8,000 mark right here. In this year, 8,000 people. Why will there always be provision? Because we're walking in. I'm not teaching this series because the church needs more money. This church is blessed. And I'm so grateful for the partners of Transformation Church who over and over and over. See, this is our seventh year doing this series. For some of us, this is a refresh because we've already started living these principles. And because of the generosity, we are able to give to everything that God leads us to give to in purpose. More money. I said more money. I said more money for the rest of your life. When God trusts you with resources, Fatima, more money, more purpose. Is anybody excited for what God's about to do through this series in your heart? Now listen, today I wanted to hype you up more, and the Holy Spirit said heart. No hype, all heart. I mean, with the promo and everything, I was ready to come up here and act a fool. And God said, but they need their heart transformed. So this week, all I'm asking you to do is identify. Where have you been? Next week, come. And from wherever you are, then we're going to go on this journey. We got 5 weeks left. 5 weeks. I'm leading you all the way to Easter. And some of y'all are going to check out right now. I'll come back at Easter. You'll be in the same broke position this time next year. I'm telling you, this will be your best year if it's your best year spiritually. Hear what God has to say about your resources, finances, stewardship, and generosity. And who knows? God may bless you through this series in a way that changes your family forever. I'm praying that this week, you're going to see that more money means more purpose. Last thing I'm going to say prophetically, get your journals ready. Get your journals ready. Get your notepads out. Because anytime somebody's heart changes to more money, more purpose, then God gives more purpose. And the way he gives purpose is through vision. Y'all thought Vision Month was just in January. We want the vision of God. Sometimes God doesn't give you vision because your heart can't handle it. So you have to have revelation or revealed truth so that now your heart. So when God says you'll be a millionaire, it's not to stunt. The reason you have to be a millionaire is for the counseling facility you have to open up. And it's going to take millions of dollars to let people go through that at a prorated rate. And people still be. Y'all don't hear me right now. More money. How you're going to be able to save young ladies from sex trafficking. And buy, you might have to go in there and buy them back. You might have to give money to get their life. But the reason God's giving you resources, more money, You want to change North Tulsa and dejected communities? You're going to have to go in there and build rec centers and educational facilities and playgrounds and after school programs. And you're going to have to pay people who these children's parents can't pay. Y'all don't want to hear this. More money, more purpose. Charles, the reason we need more resources is because we're going to fund other people's stuff. Like, I don't need anything else for what God's called me to do, because I want to be blessed by the way. If God can use me for his purposes, then it's more money, more purpose. I challenge you to stop thinking. I challenge you to start thinking beyond your position. Whatever you need, I want you to begin to believe God that you can meet that need for somebody else. This is how you start shifting into purpose. You need your tuition paid for? Start praying and believing right now that one day you will pay off somebody else's tuition. You need a car right now? Begin to believe God that one day you'll be able to give somebody a car. You need startup money for your business? And if you're already there and you got it and your money don't have purpose, start asking God, who do I need to share this with? I don't need another investment account. I need to invest in somebody. More money. Father, bless this church. Bless us in our mind and our heart, and let 6 months from now there be a visible difference in our bank account, in the way we walk, in the way we talk, that we live a blessed life. Not to accumulate, but to distribute. Let us be a river, not a reservoir. Let it flow, God. Because more money, more purpose. We thank you, we bless you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name we agree. Somebody shout amen. Hey, listen, if you text SAVED to the number on your screen, I forgot to say it, it's the most important part. If you gave your life to Christ today, text SAVED to the number on your screen so we can send you some resources, and make sure you share this all week with at least 15 people. Does anybody know anybody that's on the poverty gospel on that side? Does anybody know? You know somebody, Tony? Okay. And does anybody know anybody who's on the prosperity? Send it to them. It'll be easier for them not to like me. They don't know me. But you could be the thing that unlocks their whole family. So be an evangelist this week. More money, more purpose. I'll see you next week. Go out and live a transformed life. Let's give God some praise.